Northeast Archives of Folklore and Oral History, Accession Number 878. A series of interviews with Augusta Christie of Presque Isle, Maine, concerning her life in general. I, as member of the Maine Legislature, WCTU, and the DAR. This is done for course number IDL-105, Women of Maine. Tape number 878.2, a continuation of the March 11th, 1975 interview with Augusta Christie. The interviewer is Harriet Tilley.
Now the other thing, this will go in right with what we were talking about before we stopped the tape. And we were talking about overpopulation and birth control information. What is Presque Isle is a relatively small city. What is the population of Presque Isle?
Well, last I knew, it was about 12,000.
Now, what do you think about the so-called sexual revolution? Do you think the morals among the young people are a great deal looser?
I'm afraid I'm not in a position to speak intelligently because I don't have enough contact with the young people to know just what they're thinking. I know in our church, the young people are extremely fond of our pastor. That is, the very young people are. They go and hug him and all that, so devoted to him. And I think that would indicate that they have rather high ideals. If they didn't, they wouldn't stay so close to him.
I'd like to ask you, do you consider any special place in your life that maybe was a turning point? Did you think back in the days when you were living in Ashland that today you would be where you are and have served in the Maine Legislature?
No, not in the least. In fact, the turning point came after my husband passed away. I never would have gone to the legislature had he been living, because I wouldn't have left him. But when he passed away, things began to develop, which finally worked up to the point where I thought, well, if I'm in the legislature, maybe I can do more to defeat the liquor business than I can here at home just voting. And that really was what motivated me.
This is probably a personal question, maybe I shouldn't be asking it, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Had your husband left you financially well off enough so that you could devote your time to the state I realize the pay in the legislature is very low.
Yes, he did. He did. He was broke at one time, but he got back before he passed away to the point where he was able to see that I was taken care of quite well. This house across the driveway is mine. All this property from the Graves line over there over to the turn line on this side is mine, and there isn't a cent against it.
But so you did have the financial freedom, so that
financial
you could.
Freedom, so that I could. But I kept within my little appropriation, small, but I kept within it just the same.
You mean the allowance that the state allowed you?
The state, yes.
What did they allow you so much, or for office?
It was so much. I believe it was so much for the term. So it depended on our getting through soon whether we got much or little.
What do you think was the best or maybe the happiest time of your life? Can you think of anything outstanding? Or maybe not. Anything.
Now, you don't mean legislative-wise, you mean personally?
Personally.
Oh, well, I think when my husband and I were married, he was a lovely person. Because he'd been married before, as I say. And his wife, his first wife, was one of my best friends. She was a lovely person. And I think that perhaps that was a high point in my life.
If you had to do it over, what would you do differently? Anything? With hindsight, would you?
I guess not. I guess there isn't much that I would change, I think. Things were pretty much the way I would have chosen them.
Did you see, can you think now of any opportunities that perhaps you missed, that you should have grabbed at or something?
I guess I haven't thought very much about it. No, I guess not, because I feel that I went just as far as I could in the legislative work and teaching. I don't know about teaching. That would have been a good field to follow, of course, but the only thing about that that I didn't like was the discipline. I hated having to discipline people, and it had to be done, and it bothered me. If I could just have taught, I would have loved it. Teaching was something that I enjoyed, but discipline was something that I hated.
That's interesting. Do you do a little short comparison for me on, do you think that your life was better or more productive than your mother's, and do you think that the young people today have a better life than you did, and so on and so forth?
I hardly know what to say to that. It was different. But Mother was a wonderful mother when she brought up four children who never got into any kind of trouble and didn't smoke and didn't drink and were all Christian. Of course, my dad had a large place in that. But the two of them together, I think, did a pretty good job to bring us all up so that there's no drinking, no smoking, no illicit activities, as far as I know. I think that's pretty good.
Do you ever think you'd like to write a book?
Yes, I have. I've been thinking of it quite a bit lately, but at present, with my eyes the way they are, it's pretty hard to do writing.
Would you, if you did write a book, would it be about you?
I think it would be about my family and me. Yes, I think perhaps it would be primarily about me, and not a biography. I think it would be just about it. But I probably never would undertake it, because if for no other reason, my eyes would make it hard for me.
Do you think perhaps you might be able to work it out with someone else?
Well, if I can find someone else with patience to bother with me, I might possibly be able to do that. But I doubt if there'd be anyone who would be anxious enough to see my autobiography to help me make it.
I recently read, and you probably have read it, Sandpiper, The Sandpiper, which is the...
No, I haven't read it.
It's the biography that Rosamund Thaxter wrote about her grandmother, Celia Thaxter, who they call the poetess of the Isle of Shoals.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you've ever read any of her poetry or not, but they lived on the islands off Kittery Point. And Celia was called the poetess of the Isle of Shoals, and her granddaughter, Rosamund, lives in Kittery Point now. And she wrote a book called The Sandpiper about her grandmother. Very, very interesting.
I think I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
I was thinking that this type of thing would... You'd make a good heroine in that type of book.
Well, I don't know.
Do you think that we are interested in your opinion on what we're doing in this particular type of information gathering? Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, I think it isn't a bad idea. I don't know how useful it will be, but still, I think for people who have been leaders in the state, as I have really, it's rather good to have some note of them in a book.
The primary interest here is to find women like yourself who didn't always stay home and be housewives and mothers. Something did occur in your life, mm-hmm. The death of your husband, and then your great belief in the temperance movement, and this was the thing behind you, gave you the strength to go on into the legislature, but nonetheless you did go into the legislature, many women in your position wouldn't have.
No, I think now there are women just as capable as I am, perhaps more capable. Now I think about Esther Hughes here in town. Do you know of her? Perhaps you don't. But she was the president of the Earls County WCTU for a long time, and she was a very able person, I thought. She was a good speaker. She was really almost an eloquent speaker, much more so than I. And I think if she had taken a notion to go into politics, because she, she could have a long time ago, because her husband was accidentally shot when he was going hunting one day, and she was left alone. So she had an opportunity if she had been inclined, but evidently she wasn't. Well, I know she wasn't, because she didn't try it at all. Didn't seem to have any interest in doing anything like that. But I did. My primary motive in doing it was because I thought maybe I could do more for the temperance cause that way than I could at home.
Did you ever think about if you could live a life as someone else, who would you like to be?
No, I never did think about it.
Who do you particularly admire?
Well, of course, I never saw Frances Willard, but I've always admired her for her strength of character and her determination and her accomplishments. I don't know whether you've ever read anything about her or not, but she was really a wonderful person. She was a teacher. She was a well-educated, able woman, very able woman. And I've always admired her. Do you know that the first thing I did when I came back to Maine, now what was the occasion? I invited the National WCTU to meet in Maine, and they met in Portland in 1960. They hadn't been in Maine for over 50 years. It's when Frances Willard was in the organization, I believe. They came to Maine before. But I was thrilled to invite them to come to Maine, and we had our meeting in the Congress Square Hotel in Portland. That's something, of course, the Maine WCTU never did have a large place for their meetings. They used to meet in churches, and didn't take too big a church to accommodate the Maine WCTU. But we had the National WCTU meet in Portland in 1960.
How large is the group in Maine now?
I can't tell you, really, but it is not a very large group, I would say, probably. Let's see now. Probably not more than 500-600.
Very active.
Some of them are not active at all. Some groups are not active at all. We're somewhat active here in Presque Isle. And one of the things that we do is to promote some kind of temperance education on Temperance Day in the schools. Mm-hmm. And our local president's been working on that now. I don't know what she's accomplished, but she's working on it.
Does the WCTU advocate temperance in all things?
Yes, temperance in all things, total abstinence from alcoholic beverages. Mm-hmm. But they do recommend temperance in all things. You couldn't be a good WCTU woman and be a glutton. Or even, I suppose, even work unreasonably, to use reason in your activities.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does, I think.
That is the end of the March 11th, 1975 interview with Augusta Christie. End of the original tape.